And it'll start at noon. And I don't know, we'll have to see about slip and slide kickball, because I don't know if there's enough. I think the youth are afraid anyway, so we'll have to pray about slip and slide kickball. I forgot to ask Barb, though, if the Kona shave ice truck is coming. We're bringing that back. Anybody excited about that? Yeah. Actually, it was kind of funny because last year they had shave ice, then they got all the other kind of little frozen things, and everybody didn't know that we paid for it and everything was free. And when everybody found out about that, guys, you know, the men and women here that normally don't eat those things, they were on like 3, 4, or 5 by the time it was probably more popular than the pig that we stayed up and roasted last, or that was that Labor Day, I can't remember. So I think we're bringing it back. I don't know if they've answered yet, but still trying to figure out how to finagle a smoker and a bunch of beef brisket without anybody seeing it, just kind of throwing it in with everything. So pray for me. Open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 6 as we continue our study through, and we've been parked here on the Lord's Prayer. Also, why don't you just go ahead and mark Luke chapter 11 as we prepare for this morning's study. God has an app, which is me being relevant. So sorry. And most of us, if raise your hand if you don't know what I'm talking about. God has an app. Does anybody not know about apps? Oh, apps. That's okay. That's where we're going. And you'll see what I'm talking about. So we're going to start. Why don't you all stand? This morning we are going to read the Lord's Prayer, the Word of God. It's good. And then we're going to talk about how it's more than just words to be repeated. And we'll start at verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6. In this manner, therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we stand before you this morning, and Lord, your word is precious. And we're so grateful for Jesus' example of not just how to pray, but to pray, as the disciples asked. And Lord, we pray that, my prayer is that this, Lord, encourages and really ignites prayer lives here, Lord. Just not only how important it is, but how precious it is that we can come to you in prayer for all things. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless this time together. Holy Spirit, move, fill this place. Open hearts and minds. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Be seated. So we're in Jesus, and this is by way of reminder, and I think, you know, some of you might go, oh, he's going to go over this again. But yeah, I think in order so that it really sinks in and we see all of the advantages and all of the opportunities and the vastness of what it really means to commune with our Heavenly Father, to be in prayer. And it's Jesus' model for prayer. And talk about it. It's more than words to be repeated. It's good to be read. But there is an outline here when Jesus is answering, remember, the disciples' request. They said, teach us to pray. And I believe Jesus is sharing the beauty of prayer and communicating with our Heavenly Father in this model. And I call it the P's of prayer. The first was person, you know, as we saw, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. the person in position of God, we need to come to him with a reverence like we would with our own Father here. We're the children of our Father in heaven. He is holy. And proper prayer begins with this awe, this praise and awe of who he is. Secondly, we saw God's purpose and plan. Prayer is a time to submit our will to God's will, our plans to God's plans and purpose. And just as Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. Thirdly was God's provision. When we pray, we recognize how God has met our needs. We also petition God to continue to meet those needs. He knows what we need and what we want, and he will provide for his children as a good father does. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also, as we forgive those, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to, as we forgive our debtors, So important that we're honest before God concerning our own shortcomings. Prayer of confession and repentance is taking personal inventory. Examine yourselves, Paul would say, to see that you're in the faith, that you're walking in the faith. Be vigilant, be sober, be ready, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, with awe and that respect and reverence. Remember this, repentance. And, it's not a popular thing talking about repentance. That was Jesus' message. It was John the Baptist's message. And repentance isn't a negative thing, I don't believe. I believe it's a precious privilege. Remember, repentance is a precious privilege to wipe the slate clean. Fourthly was God's pardon. And that's what we're talking about. Fifth is God's protection. Our Father allows us to come to him on behalf of ourselves and for others, to intercede when trials and temptations arise. Our Father is a very present help in time of need. God is in the trial with you always, Christian, and we can ask for his comforting hand to lead us while we're in the trial, and to guide us in a way of escape from temptations. He will always provide a way out of temptation, but he will give us comfort and peace in the trial. If you're looking to grow in your prayer life, if your desire is to have a proper perspective for prayer, Jesus gives us the keys. First, and then he talks about get into your closet, into a quiet place. Spend time praising him. Acknowledge his purpose and plan, that God would be glorified in your life today. Recognize he will meet your daily needs. The cool thing is you can petition your Father concerning those needs anytime, any place. Repent and confess. Start with a clean slate. Seek his pardon because he is faithful and just to forgive. And seek his protection. What tempts you, Christian? What test are you in this morning? What are your friends and family going through? Intercede on your behalf and on their behalf. He's available to help. This morning we're going to look at all the final two P's. Actually, I'm going to throw in one more, but we're going to look at persistence and promise. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Picking up at verse 5, it says, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves.'" That's, in today's society, that's rude when you show up at midnight at your friend for some food, right? "For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence," or the friend's persistence, "he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you." It was not uncommon in Jewish society for visitors to show up at the door unannounced. Hospitality to strangers was a basic law in Middle East society, and it was certainly observed in Jewish society. And because it was often hot in the day, many would travel at night. And what Jesus is giving us is an example, not of comparison, but of contrast in this. If a traveler came to you at night and you did not have the basic needs for hospitality, what would you do? You would go to your neighbor and ask for help. Failure to entertain a guest reflected not just on the individual and the individual's family, but it actually reflected on the whole village. And that was true not only for the neighbor requesting help, but for the friend he went to ask help from as well. Persistence pays off, we often say. And in essence, the hospitality shown to the traveler kept the good reputation of the village that the traveler found himself at or herself at. The word persistence is anaidia. It's a five-syllable word, so they're hard for me. But it means importunity, literally shamelessness or avoidance of shame. And because of one's persistence, desire to avoid shame, he's going to keep knocking until the need is met. And then verse 9, I said, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now the tense of the verbs, ask, seek, and knock, are important that you really understand the tense and what Jesus is saying. The tense is keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. In other words, prayer is to be more than the occasional 911 call, right, to God. It's to be an ongoing communication with our Heavenly Father, who is always available. He's always available. Today we're going to go to Beth's parents' house for Father's Day. I already know my nieces, my nephews, my son and daughter are going to have devices that seemingly are connected to their hands. They are going to be communicating with friends and trying to have communicative relationship with the people that are there. But I sit there and I just watch them, and it's just amazing how much time they spend talking to somebody that's not even there through their devices than talking to the family. Imagine communicating with your heavenly Father the way you communicate with others by texting and tweeting and Facebooking. How much time is spent on those things? Stop and think for a minute. Your Father in heaven has made himself infinitely available through a far superior application than texting and tweeting and Facebooking. He invites us into his office, the throne room, through this heavenly app called prayer. No errors, no unavailable servers. We don't need to find cell towers or get Wi-Fi access. In fact, I'm chuckling. I'm, kind of going through this, putting together a message, and I text Kevin because 4G is still working, but our internet's down this morning here at the, we have service, and we write live stream over our internet, and all these things are coming up. And as I was trying to get online, do a little research, find some, different things, it says, cannot find server. Well, that's never an encouraging message to get. Constant open access through this heavenly app is what God has given us. God has an app. Just think how cool that is. Because it's cool to have apps and, right, your iPhone. I don't have an iPhone, so I'm probably not as cool as you Apple heads. I have, what? I don't even know, what's the other? The smartphone, but it's a Android. Yeah, go figure. I wonder if our Father is in his office, in the throne room that he invites us to enter, if he's in there wondering why we don't spend as much time on his app as we do on other apps of communication that we have available to us. Listen, check out his app. It's based on sonship and daughtership, not on friendship. You don't click on friend like an app the world that you know that the what the world offers us. What a sad commentary on the church to unfriend brothers and sisters in Christ. I hear it about it all the time. So and so unfriended me. Oh, this was up there, and you know they all of a sudden now I'm not a part of this conversation or that conversation. Listen, God doesn't invite you to friend him. There is one link, and that is Abba Father. Your Father, and he doesn't unfather or orphan his children. Isn't that good news? No matter how much of a knucklehead I am, he doesn't unfather me. His app is open. It's uninterrupted communication with him, and he calls it communion. The app is prayer. How much time do you spend in it? The server of God is really amazing. It has limitless redundancy. It never crashes, and he calls it the helper. It can handle all the asking, all of our seeking, and all of our knocking sent its way. He hears it all. And the sad thing is we probably do not test its capability nearly enough. In essence, Jesus is challenging God's children when he says, so I say to you, ask, it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened. Jesus is, in essence, asking you and me to try and crash the server to put his app to the test. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. The search engine is infinite, and it's built on a platform called the promise, which is the next P. It was going to be the last P, but it's the next P in the P's of prayer. Verse 11, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Here is the contrast in Jesus' example. The person looking to provide for his guests it will be shameless, will be persistent to ask for what he needs in order to avoid shaming his family and the village and the society. The friend will respond in like manner by getting up and fulfilling the request. Don't you know your heavenly Father will answer your prayer? He does not answer prayers just to meet his children's needs. He answers prayer in such a way and for the sole reason of glorifying his name. Do you believe that God answers prayer? Isaiah 65:24, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Could it be you have not opened the app because you are unsure of the promises of God? Or could it be you don't like the answer? God tells me no. I don't like it. It's hard enough, but no, not now. When he says wait, that's hard enough. But when he says no, that answer is unacceptable. Anybody feel that way? And I always talk Hannah. I love Hannah. Hannah is she is a study in what Jesus is saying here. Knock, ask, seek, and do it constantly. She hates no. Her response is always, why? 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 But I want it. But I want to do it. I want to go. Why can't I go? Until she wears you out and she gets what she wants. Now, she doesn't always get what she wants. Sometimes she has to go to her room disappointed. But she has the ask, seek, and knock down pat. But that's what God, that's how God wants us to come to Him, at, like children. You know, Lord, let me have this. And listen, the answer might be something else, but it's always a great something else, right? How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him and give good gifts to His children? Listen, no is a good gift from God, often, because He knows what you and I need, and He knows what you and I don't need. Just like the other night when the kids were going to get ice cream, and I know that I shouldn't have gotten ice cream. Instead, I've got a hot fudge sundae with strawberry and raspberry sauce, and as I'm eating it going, oh man, I don't need this right now. I wish I was as steady as my Father in heaven, who would have said no, Bill. But Christian, God's app, it's a perfect app. The prayer program is flawless. The problems we might find with prayer are not ever going to be on His end. Do you understand that? Any issue you have with prayer is not God failing, is not God not listening, it's not God not doing what you want Him to do. You see, there are certain platform requirements necessary in the hardware and software so that the app is designed to run in. You understand that? Here are the requirements. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. It is only available for sons and daughters, the complete app, that is. You see, it runs on specific hardware with the help of certain software. Actually, with the help of specific software. It's to reside on our minds and our hearts. That's the hardware. And it's by the Helper, the Holy Spirit of God, that it's applicable, or the application, the software is the Holy Spirit of God. We are saved by grace through faith, and it's working through the hardware and software glitches that bog the app down. God's app runs best on software under, or operating under His grace, on a heart that is His. It's best accessed by a mind ruled by faith. Hardware that believes Him, believes in His promises, believes He hears, and believes that He answers. And I'm going to add one more P of prayer. And then I'll be done. And many of you are shocked already. And that is the power of prayer. The power of prayer is not found in the prayer itself, but the one who is sought to perform the request. God is the power to perform prayer. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You see, it's His world. He's Almighty God. He is faithful to perform His promises. You understand that? Isaiah 48:11, for my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned, and I will not give my glory to another? Do you understand He will answer your prayer for His own glory? He will not profane His name. John 14:12-14, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, let me preface that scripture because it is misinterpreted horribly by some parts of the church, that you can just go willy-nilly and whatever you ask it in a way that you're telling God that that's what he's going to do. That's not what that means. There are some people that believe that they can do greater works than Jesus. In other words, greater miracles. Jesus raised the dead. The only thing greater is create, to create life. You and I will never, ever be able to do that. Even by his power, he won't give us that power. You understand that? But this thought of the signs and wonders, that you're going to do greater signs and wonders than Jesus, just is wrong thinking. Okay, that's not what this means here. It's the scope, because the commission was to go out into Jerusalem and Judea and all the world and preach the gospel so that people might be saved. Salvation is the greatest miracle after life itself. And so that's not what Jesus isn't saying, that you're going to do greater miracles and all these other things. It's just that the disciples, because there were 12 of them and one of Jesus who basically stayed in a smaller area, that they were gonna, the gospel was going to spread. And so he's telling them that you're going to do greater works. These things are going to spread. People are going to get saved. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified. When we pray with the proper perspective of God's person and position, according to his purpose and plan, trusting God will provide for our needs, and seeking his pardon and forgiveness, asking for his provision or protection as we intercede not only on our behalf but on the behalf of others, persisting in prayer according to his promises, and then confident that he will do it, then we are on our way to practicing the Lord's instruction to pray successfully. I'm not going to add anything more to that. And I hope that this encourages you and excites you to spend more time seeking this in this app that God has given us called prayer. Because it is, you know, everything that we need and that we realize in this walk of faith comes through our approaching him and seeking him for everything that we need, all of his promises. You might need that strength in times of trials and times of temptation. Whatever it might be, God provides it through this communication app that he has given each and every one of us. And if it's broken, it's not because it's broken on his end. It's because it's not being used on yours. Amen? Heavenly Father, I just pray that whatever the needs are here, Lord, whether it's repentance unto salvation, Lord, if anybody's here this morning that has not surrendered their life to you but recognizes that they are separated from you, Lord, Lord, that you would hear their heart and that they would hear your heart, Lord, that they would, Lord, turn in agreement with you Lord, that they would seek forgiveness and cleansing from sin, that they might be saved, Lord, and put their faith and trust in you, Lord. Those that are going through it right now, trials, Lord, temptations, Lord, that they would seek you and find strength in your Holy Spirit, Lord. And Lord, if there's needs, whether it's physical, Lord, financial, if there's fears because of what's going on in this world and jobs, and Lord, I just pray that, Lord, they would see your hand providing their every need. And I just pray, Lord, that, Lord, the promises that we know and the promises that are in your word, Lord, that we would understand as your children that you are faithful. Lord, I know I fail as a father at times, but you never fail.
And I just pray, Lord, that you would not only provide what we need, but that you would exceedingly abundantly above all we can comprehend, especially in these times, Lord, just pour out your grace and pour out your love, Lord, and provide by your Holy Spirit all the church needs, protection, whatever it might be. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a great Father. Happy Father's Day. We pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.